When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Sarah.
This is Jenna. We're from Name 3 Songs, and today we're getting candid with Brynn Cartelli. She started her journey as a singer when she won America's The Voice at just 15 years old. This was in 2019. Now she's 20, and she's releasing her debut album, Out of the Blue. It just came out yesterday on March 1st.
So we're getting candid with Brynn Cartelli about how she waited to release her debut record until she was fully ready to tell her story, and how she's grown as a singer and honed her songwriting skills. But also, my favorite thing that we talked about today is how Brynn has been bringing her music to life through creating these visuals and directing her own music videos, which I think is really cool. And so with all of that being said, let's go get candid with Brynn.
Hi, Brynn. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we're very excited to talk to you today. We know that you have a lot going on, but you also have a long history of things going on in your life. You know, starting out with being a champion on The Voice, getting to tour with Kelly Clarkson and Maroon 5. You've really kind of carved out a place for yourself in music as a singer-songwriter. And now you have your debut album coming out at the start of March. Have you had a moment to kind of like soak in your career thus far?
Honestly, I feel like I have. I'm like right now, I'm so ready to just like go. I've taken a long time to make this album, so I've definitely had my moments within the past like 3 years that I've really sat down, especially recently, I think, because it's all coming out with, I went down a rabbit hole a couple weeks ago, like watching an old video of myself when I was like 14. You know, I had to do it at like, it was like dark in my apartment. It was like 11 p.m. I'm like, okay, this is my one chance to like really go back and watch this. And then I'm never doing this again. So yeah, I've had some reflection on my past and everything that I've done that's led me to here. And, you know, I'm mostly really grateful. And it's just crazy. I can't believe it. I feel like, you know, all those different versions of myself that have, you know, led to this moment. I'm 20 now. I think, yeah. I'm sure you guys know this, like your age and your personality from age like 14 to 20, you live like three different lives.
So yeah, kind of absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, but it's been great.
And I mean, like starting out, getting to tour with such like world-renowned artists like Kelly Clarkson and Maroon 5, like what was that experience like for you? And like thinking back on it now, it's like, I can only imagine what that must feel like.
It's insane. People told me at the time that I would not realize how lucky I was in that moment. And I didn't. I just thought that was normal. I lived on a tour bus. I had a really small band, so I had a lot of space on a tour bus, which is a very rare situation on the road. And so it was a very glamorous first tour, I cannot lie. I got a dog mid-tour.
You're like low-key living that Hannah Montana lifestyle.
It was the closest thing you could imagine to Hannah Montana, except for the wig. Like it was
That's
very
awesome.
Everything else was pretty Hannah Montana. Yeah, it was funny though. I think I definitely struggled at that time, and what I'm really happy about now was like I was so disconnected from people my own age then, just because I was moving at like such a crazy pace and was surrounded by adults. And you know, after Kelly's tour specifically, I like took a couple months and was like, I don't know how to communicate with a group of at the time like 16-year-olds. And you know, I want to be able to write songs about my life that feel honest and feel honest to those around me as well. And so, you know, that was definitely, I had to take a step back to do that and feel more grounded and, you know, more confident in who I was. Cause I, even watching those old videos, like I did the other week, I in the moment in my head, I remember feeling really strong, and I know I was, but I was so quiet at the, I just didn't even know what to say. And now, now I have a lot to say. I probably have too much.
Yeah, it's like you said, I mean, going from being a teenager even to like the age you are now, and even the next few years coming up, it's like you change so much as a person. So it's like you're still like discovering yourself and like who you want to be as an artist too.
Yeah, exactly. And I must say, like, I did always have this idea of a bit of a roadmap with what I wanted to do. And I weirdly have stayed true to it. And obviously things a little bit have adjusted. But, you know, I knew I wanted to start off with something quite simple and then build up this ladder and take people on a journey with me in similar ways that other artists that I love have done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. In thinking of this journey and like this idea you had in your head, Was there a point when you were younger where you were like, I want to be a singer, like this is what I want to be doing? And like, how young were you when you started doing that and kind of like planning out this roadmap?
Yeah, I mean, I loved performing as a kid. Like I loved attention and the, you know, I was dramatic in all the best ways. So I wanted to do something with eyes on me, but I honestly, this is how I just had no idea. I thought being a singer is like a very far-fetched, you know, pop star dream. Mm-hmm, well, yeah. I'm going to dream of being a film director instead, as if that's any easier. Like I just had no idea. I think in control of a story and a narrative, and really that was always what I wanted to do. I was just coming up with just long stories, so whether talking, making plays, or writing songs. That was at the core what I wanted to do, and now I realize it. But yeah, I did like talent shows when I was younger, and I would do that. But it was always, you know, I would perform for others, but it was also just something I really have always and continue to just do for myself. I don't have a ton of music friends. Like I have a lot of other different kinds of creative friends. Mm-hmm. Like it's so personal for me. Like it's not something I want to talk about every day. I mean, I love it like with this, but my friends every day is not something we want to do.
No, definitely. And I mean, like, also just in thinking of, like, we were talking about how, like, between 14 and 20, you live, like, a million lives. But also, it's, like, moving away to go to college, even though, like, you're from Massachusetts and, like, moved to New York. Like, that's a huge move. And having experienced so much, like, while on this cusp of, like, adulthood and, like, some of these things are, like, things that every teen to, like, 20-something goes through. But also, like, at the same time, you're channeling everything into your music. So does it ever feel like you're living kind of like this dual life of like, okay, I'm a student and I'm doing this and I'm living my life, but also I'm a musician and I like want to put all of this down into song?
Yeah, completely. It is definitely a double life thing. And I just live to write, and I love it so much. Mm-hmm. And it's my little secret. Like my songs, truth, they live in my phone, my computer, my journals for like months, years before mm-hmm. anyone else will ever know about them.
Yeah.
So I think that's why that's just always been, they're so personal to me, and all the, you know, they're very honest. And most times when I'm writing music, like it's very, you know, I say things that shock myself, because it's usually like I feel like your creative mind kind of knows the truth about how you feel about things before you have, are able to process that. And so I like keeping it separate, because I also just like to learn new things. And like I said, if you're always focused, I feel like I can expand my world that I can write about if I'm not only thinking about what I'm writing about every day. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's...
No, I love this. This is really cool. It's like it's kind of like you're describing like almost your creative process of like how you process things and like the inspirations you bring in. Cause we've talked to kind of several different artists about this, like how they go about songwriting. And sometimes it's like, you're writing things down and you may not even know what it means in that moment. And then you're able to look back on it and be like, oh my gosh, like that was such a key part of my life. Like I didn't even realize like at the time. And then it's like having that as a timestamp is so cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I have voice memos where I have like said lyrics like out loud as I'm kind of just like saying things, playing the piano or guitar. And all of a sudden it's like you hear a gasp where I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I meant to say that out loud, but it's said and now it's out there. And and that's kind of the magic of it all. I think, I don't know, I'm so mystified by this experience of just making music and writing songs and just the whole, I don't know how we do it. Like it's so crazy to be a human and like, I don't know. I'm just really amazed by it all the time.
So I was thinking, so like in you writing this album, and you said, you know, you kind of like took some time to figure out like who you are, just like live your life as a teenager and live your life as a college student now. And like in thinking of you working through this album, like how do you feel like your songwriting has changed from when you were putting out music a few years ago to now this album?
I think it's just gotten more confident and stronger. I feel so much better about myself in a studio now than I did with the first project. I feel like with collaborating, I always took the back seat. I think I felt like a young girl in these studios, and I was like, I don't know. Yeah. This isn't my home. This isn't my space. I don't want to touch anything. I just want to write the best lyrics and write the best melodies and sing as good as I can. And the beginning of this album was when I started making, it was very much so a turning point in how I acted and went about in a studio, which was like something happened one day. I think it might have just been the person I was with, Henrik, who I produced a lot of these songs with, and just that kind of connection. I felt so comfortable just being like, and now I'm playing this synth and we're turning the dials and we're making all the things happen. And that allowed me, from a songwriter, to just like perspective, it just, I was able to put so much more of myself in it because I was making things happen on the production side that I've always wanted to make happen, and which opened up other doors for the writing. And I wrote a lot of these songs by myself, which I'm really proud of. So I think like just that kind of, you know, willingness and obedience that I was like, I think during at the end of COVID and coming out of all that, I was just really like, I need to, you know, I have a story to tell. And I think that got a lot stronger compared to, you know, the first song. So,
yeah. And then like thinking like that, being like, okay, like I have the story to tell. I want to talk about like the way I've grown and like all that kind of stuff. Has it ever been difficult for you, like when you're in like the, especially like in the mastering stage of the album, being like, oh, like I'm actually like agreeing to put this out in the world and like let people hear this and hear my story from my perspective in like such a raw way? Because songwriting is so personal to the writer, obviously.
Yeah, it hits me in really random moments. Like I'll do an interview with somebody, or I'll talk to someone that has heard the album, and it really amazes me that they've listened to it. I'm like, oh, it's not gonna just live in my,
it's not
like
a secret anymore.
Yeah, it's not gonna just live in my phone as this thing. And yeah, just some, especially with some of these singles that we've put out in the past year, I'm like, so it always is like the night before, I'm like, okay. And now I'm just like a little nervous because there's a way to make music and not say this much, but I can't really help myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I, but it's also fun because then I go to shows and I talk to people that listen to my music, and it's always like the most personal little detail that I was afraid of putting in that people attach themselves to the most. And I think, you know, it's so fascinating to see that. And I'm like, okay. So then it feels worth it. And I'm like, okay, it feels like we're all holding everyone's hands. Like we've got this together. So it's, I love it. It's definitely scary, but I'm an open book at this point. I like having that kind of openness with my music. I can't help it.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, do you ever feel like there's certain things you've written where you're like, no, this is just for me. Like, I'm going to keep it for myself.
Honestly, the last single, Boy From Home, I was not going to put that out.
Oh,
I really didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't. I wrote it and I wasn't even going to send it. I don't even think I did, but I played it. I don't know what happened. I was doing some kind of like acoustic show. It was my first acoustic show in New York. I'd just written the song. And I was like, oh, what? I'm just going to play the song I wrote last week. And I played it, and my A&R was there. And she's so talented. So she was like, had the ear, and she's like, Brynn, we need to put that song out. And I was like, did you listen to it? And I'm like, I'm really, I was scared for that one. And it also like, I was so precious with getting it right. And I wanted to try other songs. So when it was a really long process in getting that song done. And at so many moments during that, I was like, well, that's because we shouldn't put it out. That's why. And then I was like, I had to stop fighting, and I just like kind of surrendered to it because you know, at that point had so many, you know, people that had seen it at that one show, and then other people that had, it like spread around the internet somehow.
Of course, as it always does.
And then I'm like, okay, it's that and a song, Secondhand Smoke. It's like the kind of messages that I got about those were very personal and touching, and I was like, oh man, this is so much better. And then I loved the song Put It Out. It was like real stories, and I was like, damn, if I would want that out. I think you should put it out. Like, let's do it. Like, you know, it's not gonna hurt me. It's just more of, you know, more to open up, and I'll let it back in.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like Boy From Home is such a relatable song. Like, I feel like those are things that everybody has felt about, like moving away from home and growing apart from people you knew, but like still feeling like attached to like that one person. And it's like, oh no, like I shouldn't do that, but like, okay, like it's like I'm just a girl at the end of the day, you know. That's so crazy, because it is like, I was listening to it and I was like, wow. I just love how sometimes like songs, it doesn't matter like how old the person is that wrote it or how old the person is that's listening to it. You're like, we've all lived this experience. Yeah. Like, it can happen at any point in time. And I feel like that's like what's so powerful and cool about music, when like there are these stories that just like don't really live in like an age or a place. And it's like something everybody's kind of experienced.
Yeah. I think the craziest thing that's I've ever experienced with my own music and how I feel about all this is like, I had one of the title track for the album, The Blue, I wrote that really, really early in 2020. So that song's almost 4 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I like went through a breakup, and it was like, suddenly I was like, it was a song I always loved. And then it had this whole new meaning, and I was like, no, this is like, this is my song again. Like, oh, I loved it when I wrote it. And then I kind of like still loved it, but for different reasons. And then it came, the lyrics came back to me in a way that was like, oh, now it needs to come out. It needs to come out right now. I need to sing this. And so I kind of felt it from the inside, which I don't know if that's like narcissistic, but I was like, no, I need this song now. So it's, it's funny when the songs are so old, but they find ways to cycle back.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. We talked to another artist who was saying like, he's like, songs should change and should mean different things. And it's like crazy to think about, because you're like, I wrote this 4 years ago. Like, how, like, what do you mean it has a new meaning? That's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And they manifest too. Like if you write about something like good coming, it will happen. It's really insane. Or opposite.
That is crazy.
And you're like, oh, I wrote this into existence, but.
Yeah. So in thinking of, you know, you having known you've known that you've wanted to do this for like a very long time, I'm sure that like at some point you really were kind of like have been dreaming or like imagining or hoping about your debut album to come out. And so now that your debut album is finally here, is this like how you pictured that it would be?
Honestly, a little bit. I would always have dreamed that I was in New York and I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted this to be a spring album. And, you know, there was a moment that we were going to put out in other times. And then we settled on now. And I was like, okay, this is what to me, this album is spring. And this feels right. It does feel a bit crazy because of, you know, I'm being 20 and having started this at 14. It's kind of insane how long it's taken. I won't ever take that long again. But I can't. Yeah, there's so many. I don't know. I feel really good with where I'm at right now with these songs. And I think I think releasing the songs has opened so many doors for me creatively to like know that I'm getting things off of my chest. I'm able to write so much more. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling that this way when I put out the EP, that because I had a lot of these songs for the album in my pocket when I put out the EP, there was something really big to look forward to. And I'm kind of at a similar point right now where I'm like, I have a lot of other songs in my pocket that I'm excited for in the future. Yeah. And it also kind of keeps me going where I'm like, okay, this isn't the end there. I know what the next chapter is already. And then it's very elaborate and it's, you know, who knows when that's going to come out, but it's just, it's important to me to have all this happening. It's just crazy. Yeah, it happens on a weird cycle. But.
No, that's so interesting. Cause I was also thinking like in reading about your album that you have coming out, like how we were saying, like you wrote it over 4 years and it's like so much can change. And like you were just saying before, like, yeah, like this song, like, had new meaning. So in your songwriting style, like, is that usually what you like to do, is you're like, okay, it doesn't really matter so much like when I wrote the song, if they like go together, like that story is okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had stopped writing for it about over a year ago, so the last song kind of came and then I was like, there is nothing more to add to this story, this is done. And I knew that once I started writing other songs, I was like, these aren't late adds to the album, this is something else. So as it became more fully formed and as I started to really dive into the production over the like later years of working on this, it was very clear to see the beginning and the end. And then it made sense of like these songs tie together. And I wrote about this I was looking forward to this moment in this song. And now let me look back on it in retrospect in this song. And so they all tied together in an interesting way. I had to move. I had to get here. I had to live here to finish the album. I couldn't have done it if I just said I was moving and then didn't actually get here and experience it and learn what that meant now. And, you know, which part of these romanticized ideas are real and which are fake and, you know, how bad really is it and how great is it in all these other ways that I have no idea. So that's kind of where I end up at, is like, okay, I'm here. I think I love it, but I don't know where I'm going to go from here. So it's kind of, there's a story still to be told, but I think it's really exciting. That moment of like liminality when we're not quite where we want to be yet, but we're not also not in the past yet. And in this in between space is something I thought about a lot while writing all of this. And I think all of these songs have a bit of that in it, where it's a bit of uncertainty, but trying to settle in this like feeling of hope and feelings of like, I got to let go of these things if I want to be the person I want to be. And that feeling was really important to me for an album, because I have there's so many records out there that tell like, I just moved to New York and I'm so happy. I love New York. And I'm like, that's been done and that's awesome. I just thought like this time beforehand, it was so interesting to me. So all the songs kind of revolve around that idea in some way or another.
That's honestly a beautiful story. Like, I'm like, I really love this. I'm so excited for your album to come out. Oh, thank you. I mean, like, it's really cool that it's like, okay, you've tied a string around this of like these songs. It's kind of a chapter, like this all goes together. And then The name of the album is Out of the Blue, and you've released the cover art as well, really playing into the color blue. And the music video, as of time of recording, the music video for Boy From Home is out as well. Also, again, kind of playing with some blue imagery. And you mentioned earlier in our conversation that you thought about being a film director. And I know that like you have directed these music videos. So for you, what's it been like being able, you know, tying a bow on the album itself, but then being able to bring it to life through like visual storytelling?
Yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate dream come true. A 10-year-old Bryn would be like mind blown by all of this, honestly. Yeah. Like, to be able to make something visual off of songs that I write. Like, it's just, and there's, I love music videos so much because I just grew up being obsessed with them. And like, I love, there's no rules, which I think is incredible. Like, it doesn't, it's an open landscape. You do whatever you want, but there's a lot to learn. And there's a lot of little things that I've been a sponge in this process. And I was always just writing treatments for the songs, and I didn't realize that I was doing it. And like starting to direct, but not realizing. And I just had like documents on documents of like all this information with, if this was a visual, this is what it would be.
That's and, so cool.
Yeah. One day I brought it to this woman who I love, and she, I had worked with her on other like live video performance videos. And I said, I was like, would you ever want to direct like this video I have, I want to do for a song. And I showed her all of it. And she said to me, she was like, Bryn, you're a director. Like, this is, you've directed it. Go direct. And I was like, okay. And I didn't know what it meant. And then, I'm really lucky that I have a great team around me that was so supportive and just was like, yeah, you're going to learn how to do this. Go ahead, learn how to do it. And we're going to, you know, support you, do what you make it all come true. So it's just been like that process. I love it. I have fallen in love with it just as much as I love songwriting and making the music. It's like, they go hand in hand for me. I cannot pick what I love more. I mean, the one couldn't exist without the other. All these songs on Out of the Blue have a treatment for a music video. I'm not making 14 music videos, but that's it's how I judge whether or not I want a song on the album is, can I see it? And then it's good. And if I can't see it, I'm like, meh, then I don't want it, you know? So no matter how like intricate the video is, to some degree. Yeah. So it's so healing when you're, you know, especially if it's like a song that's kind of like about a sad thing that I've gone through, and I get to make something of it. And it's like made me, I don't know. I say healing and it feels like a corny word, but it truly, that's what it does. I feel so much comfort and, you know, creative freedom and taking back, you know, the power of these stories that I felt like they were not mine for a bit, you know, and just reactions. Yeah. And now they feel like,
so. No, 100%. Like, that makes so much sense. And that's so beautiful. And I feel like that's what's so important when it comes to like sharing yourself in the way that artists do, is it's like you're giving so much of yourself to the people. And like, so often, like, artists say that, like, oh, like, once a song's out there, it like doesn't feel like theirs anymore. It's kind of like for the fans to like take on their own meaning to whatever. And so for you to be able to have those like visual storytelling aspects where you're like, no, like, that's my story of it. So that way you like still have that, I think, is really powerful and amazing, because like we were saying, it's like you put the song out in the world, fans develop their own like feelings towards it, their own stories about it. And you're like, okay, that's amazing. I love that. But like, here's also my story. And I feel like that's so important because like at the end of the day, it did start as your story, you know? And so being able to like share your visual version of it, I think is like really powerful and important.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I tend to do more like abstract kind of videos around it because I don't fully want to take the power of like, it means this means this. Because I do believe that at some point it's not mine anymore to some degree. But the most recent one, Boy From Home, we wanted to do a narrative version. I had a very abstract visual and then I kind of like opened it up and made it narrative because I was like, I was just, everyone was like, Bryn, like, you've done all the crazy stuff, bring it back to like some grounded reality. And the story is so interesting, just tell it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of knowing when and where you want to do that, which I'm still exploring and trying to figure out. But it's really fun to, you know, especially when you can weave them all together and, you know, all the Easter eggs and just the little flex of my personality that I want to come out. And it's fun. And I get to collaborate with so many amazing people. Like Sean Liu danced in the Secondhand Smoke music video, and I've been a fan of his forever. So it's just been an absolute honor to be able to bring it to life. I can't believe it. It's so crazy.
I think it's really important when artists like have such like a visual identity or like visual storytelling that they want to execute around their album, because I think it's just, it's it's almost like world building, right? Of like for listeners and for people who are coming across your music, maybe even for the first time, it's like they're getting to discover more than just the music and take part in like something that's, it's almost like a gift. Like it's almost like a, it's like a gift to like for you, but also like a gift for like listeners and fans.
Oh, that's a, I mean, that's awesome. I love, I mean, I would love, that's really cool that it's a gift. It is a world. It is, I'm like, whether they want to enter the world or not, that is a really big part of what I do in everything. Like I, the amount of like voice memo bits that are in the song that no one will notice, but like they are so instrumental in bringing this world to life and connecting things. Like subway screeches in one song, like sound like synths in another song. And like, you'll never, spoons and cereal bowls and conversations at like 3 a.m. that are, you don't hear them, they don't take over the sound, because I don't want it to be like a voice memo album, but like they're instrumental in bringing the world, you know, just to make it, you know, more round. I mean, that's corny to say. But yeah, it's really, it's the most fun part of this whole process is, you know, sitting down and thinking, okay, these songs, these visuals, what does it all mean and what can I say with it? Yeah, it just feels like a really fun project and I'm so grateful that I get to do it. It's crazy.
That's so cool. I love like this idea of like world building, because also just like when it comes to like fans and like people paying attention, it's like when they feel connected to you in ways like outside of just the music, where it's like, oh my God, like I get these like bits and pieces of personality from artists. I feel like that's such like a good move for artists to do. Just thinking from like, again, like that kind of fangirl perspective of things where it's like, okay, like, oh, like Jenna and I talk a lot about how it's really cool when you kind of feel like you have an inside joke with an artist where it's like, okay, like they're letting me in to like part of their life. And like, I know that, like, they know that I know that whatever, you know, like that kind of thing. And I feel like that is like really beautiful, especially when you get to like meet fans on the road or at shows or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, like I noticed this thing. And you're like, oh my God, you noticed it. That's so cool. Like, what is that experience like for you when you do have fans come up to you and be like, oh, like I noticed you like to use like this kind of like color, or this kind of like vibe in a song, or like that kind of thing. Like, what is that like?
It's crazy. The people that listen to my music have been so kind to me and so creative. And like, it's little things. Like there's this incredible girl named Charlotte and she's been listening to my music for a while and she knows that I am like from Massachusetts. I always wore Converse when I was little and I still bring it in. And she like embroidered little motifs from the songs that had already been out and that are motifs of the album, like lungs and the color blue, like spirals and different constellations into Converse shoes. And like gave them to me, and I wear them in the Boy From Home music
that's
video,
because so
I
was like, cool. Oh, that's so cool.
And I've had other amazing like little like, oh my gosh, the things that they come up, it's so amazing and they're so creative. And I feel like I'm like cultivating this incredible community of people that just love to make things. And like, you know, we kind of, you hear about a world, you get this one thing and for album and per project, and you just like dive into it and get so nitty gritty. And I love it. It's truly, it's incredible. It's so much fun. And I do have these sneaky little conversations with them, and yeah, more to come. There's a lot, you know, they've only heard some of the album. There's a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like moving to a place like New York, we think about New York is such a creative mecca. So many different people go there, like specifically because they want to be part of the arts. Do you feel like New York has kind of had an impression on you as an artist?
Yeah, completely. I feel like when I was growing up, I mean, my town was like a very, it's awesome. It's a small town. There's not a ton of art there for me at the time. And it was my own little secret. And so I feel like all the things that I was discovering, especially musically, were for like by myself. I had to go out and kind of find it. And, you know, my family loves music, but they're not musicians. So it was really like my world to discover. And now being here, it's like every day, it's something new that I'm hearing about through the, you know, just through on the streets of people talking about what music's going on and what, you know, what album just came out of something I probably would have to like take a whole extra like week to find if I was not, walking around meeting people. Yeah, there's just the energy of, you know, being, like you said, around so many creatives that's so inspiring and just makes me want to keep pushing and keep going. And, you know, I'm kind of a competitive person. So I'm like, okay, let's go. I'm ready to do it. So yeah, I love it. I think I love being here. I had such a image of what it was in my head. And obviously Massachusetts isn't that far. So it was a very tangible dream, which is why I love being here. Yeah. I was like, okay, I know I can do it. It's going to be hard, but I know I can do it. And yeah, it's been the best thing. I've had, you know, I've gone through heartbreak. I've gone through all the crap things here that are not fun. And you know, the world kind of, all the romanticized things kind of shattered in front of me, but it opened up a whole new thing, you know, category of things that I love about New York. And I was just, I love it. I probably will be here the rest of my life.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like as somebody who's from New York, there is that thing where I see like transplant friends have the romanticized, like it, the like, you know, like the rose colored glasses come off and you see like the facade of New York crack around them. And like the ones who can like withstand that, I'm like, okay, you got this. Amazing. Yeah. And like, so it's always really beautiful to like hear people who have moved here be like, yeah, like I saw how the rats actually are the kings of New York. And like, I still, and like, I saw how like the boys at NYU are going to ruin my life and I'm still here. I'm still kicking.
Yes. To both of those, yes.
So we do have we do have one wrap up question that we like to ask everybody, just to like tie a cute little bow on the interview, and that is, the ethos of Name Three Songs is to empower fangirls, and we think it's super important to be critical consumers of what you love, but also celebrate those things unapologetically. So Brynn, what are you a fangirl of?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm a fangirl of Florence Welch, of Florence and the Machine. That's my woman.
A great one.
I love her so much. I'm a fangirl. I'm a fangirl of popcorn. It is the love of my life. And I eat it like pretty much every day. And I make it myself. I get the kernel. It's like a very sacred process to me.
I love this.
Even distribution of butter is really important to me. Anyway, I'm also a fangirl. Oh gosh. I mean, the term fangirl makes me want to say other artists.
You can be artists. Oh, you can be anything.
Okay, cool. I'm also a really big fangirl of the photographer, Tim Walker. I've written him letters. Like, I am a fangirl. I love his work. It has inspired this album. It has inspired other projects that I'm working on. He is a magical human being, and I love his vision. There's some things I have loved less, but most of it I love. It is, I bow down to him. Those would be my three things. I mean, oh God, it's like, I want to say Dolly Parton, but I already said three.
We love that. There's always room for Dolly. There's always room for Dolly.
Okay, yeah, because she is like, she is queen of everything. So I'm going to say her.
Love that. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we are so excited for your album to be out. And thank you, Brynn, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you guys so much. It's so nice to meet you. I love what you're doing over here. It's so incredible. And I love fangirls. You guys rule the world. So
thank you.
The way that Brynn is able to visualize her songs is so cool and interesting, and I just like love her creative process and hearing about it and hearing about how that has also made her fans want to be more creative with her. And I think it's really cool when we speak to like these younger artists, because their fans are usually very much like around their same age, and so these are like their creative peers who are like finding them and being like, oh, like your music is making me want to think more creatively. And her sharing that like she is having these moments with her fans where they're like catching on to things that she is including in her music videos, and like the recurring themes visually that she is using, and that they are being like creatively motivated to like make their own stuff based off of that, I think is so cool.
You know, my favorite thing is I love when artists have a creative vision, and I love that Brynn's like making her own world out of this.
Yeah.
I think it's just so fun for fans. It's so fun for the artists to do world building.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool to see like how Brynn has kind of like tapped into this, you know, creative world beyond just songwriting as she's grown as an artist, and how she's going to continue to grow as an artist.
Yeah. I mean, her saying that she thought that that wanting to be a pop star was an unobtainable career, but her dream career being a director felt more obtainable to her. I think
I know. Like, that's so funny.
It's so funny.
Why not both?
It's like, why not both? And I love it, because she just very much was like, no, I want to be creative and figure out some way to have a creative outlet. And she's been able to do all of them and like continue to inspire herself and her fans along the way. I think it's just like so amazing and interesting. because I just feel like we're in an era for a while of like a dry spell of what music videos were and like what artist visuals were. And to see this like younger generation of artists like really leaning into visuals again, I think is like really exciting.
So thanks for getting candid with us and Bryn Cartelli. This has been Sarah and Jenna from Name Three Songs.
And to get your pop culture fix, you can listen to new episodes of Name Three Songs every Wednesday.